praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here today and each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you, Father, first of all, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And they will fulfill that plan and they will fulfill that purpose. But Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us, and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear that brings forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. And we thank you, we come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own ability, but we come in your strength, your power, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your anointing that's here tonight. Your anointing that saturates us and changes in an instant. We thank you, Father, if anyone is watching or anyone that's here tonight that's going through a tough time that needs to get a hold of that anointing will touch them. That anointing will change them. That anointing will heal them. That anointing will set them free. And we thank you for it now. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Hope you're having a great day. If you're not, you should be. I'm excited. You should be excited. You know, because we serve an exciting God. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. 2020 is the best year ever in my life. Should be the best year ever in your life. If it's not, well, after tonight's message, maybe it will be. All right. Just want to kind of let you know, sometimes people want to know, well, how do you come up with what you're going to speak on and things? I don't know. I'm probably a worse person to ask. But I'll tell you how I came up with tonight's message. I don't know. Late last week, I walked in my kitchen looking around. I don't know for food. I don't know what I was doing. And all of a sudden, I saw laying on actually the kitchen counter a little mini book called You Can Have What You Say. You know, and I'm just kind of intrigued and started thinking about it and started thinking about how many people have said a lot of negative things this year. How many people keep saying negative things this year? You know, and so I decided, you know, I'm going to read this book and you know, I'm going to preach on it really soon. And then I started thinking, well, you know, whatever you say are words. All right, and, you know, so I got words. And I read that. And so tonight we're going to tell you, you know, you can have whatever words that you say. Whatever words that you say, you can have. You know, a lot of people have been having a lot of terrible things this year because of some of the words they begin to say. I never say the numbers are going up. I say the numbers are going down. I never say coronavirus is attacking everybody. I say coronavirus has to die in the name of Jesus. I speak life, not death. And in fact, the Bible tells us to do that. I'll start out in the Old Testament. My iPad's not working. It is working, but it's that's another bad confession. It happened to be frozen up there for a second, but my iPad works fine, all right? Might not be a new one, but it still works. All right, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. And now we've all heard that scripture, but do we believe that scripture? We have to understand that our words can either speak death or life. You know, one of the first things that my grandfather says in this words book, he says this, words again, are more important than a lot of people realize. Words make us or break us. Words heal us or make us sick. According to the Bible, the words destroy us or make us full of life, happiness, and health. The words that we speak. He says, our words, the words that we spoke yesterday, made life what it is today. If you don't like the life you're living today, then start speaking different words. Start speaking different things. If you don't like your situation right now, start speaking differently. You know, many times that we catch ourselves saying things that we probably don't want. I mean, I know I've said it. We've all said it. I'm thinking to the choir here. I mean, I've said things like, my head is killing me. All right? You know, having a headache or whatever. But that's not a faith statement. That's not really good words. And I don't know. Maybe it is happens to me. Maybe it doesn't happen to you. But it seems the more I talk about something, the more it hurts. You know, the more I just shut up and just go on, it doesn't hurt as much. And so, you know, there are many times that I might be hurting, but I don't tell anybody about it, you know, because I don't believe I'm hurting. I know I'm healed because Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes I was healed. And so I know that I am healed. Over in the New Testament, Matthew says this, Matthew 12:37. It says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We will be justified or condemned by the words that we speak. The words that we speak are very, very, very important. And I want to encourage you this. If you or someone you know is in the hospital or are going through some tough times, I want you to watch your mouth. Because sometimes that we speak negatively, we don't mean to speak it, but we do. You know, and I know I don't know if you remember the sitcom with Gary Coleman, and he would always say, what you talking about, Willis? And so as soon as somebody, you know, says that, I start thinking about, you know, I mean, I've said negative things before, but I've got to a point, as soon as they exit my mouth, all of a sudden, on the inside, I say, you know what? No, my head's not killing me. That's not life. You know, but a lot of times, actions also speak louder than words. You've probably heard that before. A lot of times people say, it's okay, but they sure don't act like it. They sure don't act like it. And I've seen a lot of fear. A lot of fear. And it seems, you know, it's interesting because this awesome 2020 that we've been living through, and I'm going to continue to say it's awesome because I say it every day. It's been awesome for me. Maybe it hasn't been awesome for you. That's okay. It's been awesome for me. Why? Because every day from day one, actually from before 2020 started, I said, it's going to be the best year of my life. I keep saying it. You know, when COVID started happening, I added to it, COVID-19 cannot, will not live in my body, cannot exist in my body. You say, but, you know, you can't say that. Who says I can't say that? I mean, I read my grandfather, I don't know if you read the story where he talked about where the flu was in season, everybody was getting the flu, and he said, I'm not going to get the flu, and because all the pastors say, aren't you afraid you're going to get the flu? He said, no, I'm not afraid to get the flu. He says, don't you worry about the devil might hear you? He goes, he's the very dude I want to hear me. You know, it comes to saying we're going to have to decide, do we believe what we say? Do we not believe what we say? Because the words that I speak are words that come from the Bible. The Bible says I'm not healed. Doesn't say I'm sick. It says I'm healed. But it says that I can have what I say I can have. And that's why each and every day I start speaking life to myself. Every day from being a little boy up until now, every day, probably multiple times a day, I claim the 91st Psalm over me and all my kids, all my family. And that's my mom taught me that. My dad didn't teach me that. My mom taught me that. And my dad does it, but my mom is the one who taught us that. You know, we claim the 91st Psalm. And if you want to know what the 91st Psalm, you know, it talks about a lot of things. It talks about 1,000 may fall to the right hand, 10,000 to the left, you know. And so one day, you know, someone told me, said, there are a lot of people getting COVID around you. I don't care if 1,000 people get COVID on this side, 10,000 on that side. The Bible says it shall not come nigh my dwelling place. Now, I'm not saying it's not a real disease. I'm not saying people haven't died, and I'm sorry about that. I'm saying that I'm speaking up, and I'm being bold. You know, and we need to be bold. And I've thought about this and thought about this and thought about this, but I'm tired of everyone speaking so negative. Everyone's speaking, I mean, this whole country is speaking negative about all kinds of things. You know, the more negative we speak, the more negative we have. And you know, our keynote scripture here at this ministry, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, and let's read that. We all know the scripture. Y'all can probably quote the scripture. But it says this, "For assuredly," or "certainly, I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." He will have whatever he says. Now, it's because of that scripture that I'm here today. How's that? Well, because of the scripture is what brought my grandfather off a deathbed. If my grandfather wasn't here, I wouldn't be here, because my father wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be in existence. This scripture brought forth life to me way before I was ever a thought pattern. So obviously it's a very important scripture in my life. If it wasn't for the scripture, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Brother Hagin getting a hold of the scripture, many of you wouldn't be here either. Many of you wouldn't be watching us online. It's because of that one scripture. That because of that one scripture launched this whole ministry. Because of this one scripture, we have a shield of faith on top of this building, and we proclaim faith all over the world, from nation to nation. You know, because of this scripture. And this scripture says that I will have what I say. But you know what? I have to watch what I say. I have to say the right thing. I have to say what I want to have, not what I don't want to have. Now, too many people just flippantly say stuff they don't want. I've heard some pastors say, I don't know if my church will ever come back after this pandemic. That's a great faith statement. I don't know. I've heard some people say, I don't know if I'll ever find a job like I had. I don't know if the economy will ever. I don't know this. I don't know that. Well, you know, the thing is, you don't know anything. You need to get a hold of the Bible. And the Bible says that you can have whatever you say. And whatever you say, you're going to have. I mean, if you look at your bank statement every month, say, I never have enough money. You know what? You're never going to have enough money. I've heard people that have told me, you said, you know what? I never can buy a new car. You know, I always have to buy used ones. I never can buy a new one. But you know what? I guarantee that person will never buy a new car. Why? Because they say they can't. My Bible says that I can do all things. All things. Why can't it? What can do all things? Because our Christ Jesus gives us the strength, the power, the authority in the name of Jesus. I can do all things. I can make it. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the promised land. Anyone remember the Old Testament, the promised land? The land that was flowing with milk and honey? And, you know, Numbers chapter 13 talks about the promised land. Now, why is it called the promised land? Anyone know? Anybody know? Because God promised the children of Israel that they were going to dwell in that land. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't break his promises. Do you realize that? He doesn't break his promises. And if God says it, that settles it. It's going to happen. But anyway, whenever they got to the promised land, instead of just walking into the land and saying, you know what, this land is our land, it isn't your land, you better get out. Because God says it's ours. Instead of doing that, they decided to send some spies into the land, one from every tribe, 12 of them. Anyway, and we're gonna start with verse 27 of Numbers 13. It says, the spies came back from the land, Remember, this is the land that God has already promised it. Not he's going to promise it. He already did. You know, it was a promise. He says, then they, the spies, told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and its fruit, and this is its fruit. So it said, you know, here's some fruit from the land. And then they put this word called nevertheless. A lot of times you'll see the same kind of word that says but. And with nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And then it goes on that he talks about all the people he saw, and they saw how tough they were, or whatever. Skipping down to verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, why did Caleb say that? Because he knew that his God had promised him that land, and he knew that whenever he was going to march in that land, he wasn't marching alone. See, we're never alone. Jesus Christ said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So he wasn't just coming in his own strength and his own power and his own might and his own ability, but he was marching, you know, as God marches, knowing that he was going to take the land, or they were going to take the land. And he was pretty excited about it. Him and, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they were all excited. They said, let's go do it. Then here's a but word again. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land, though, which we have gone as spies, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, and he goes on and says, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And we were in their sight. So my point is, quit looking with your own eyes. Since that we're like grasshoppers in our sight. Yeah, but you need to renew your mind. You need to get a hold of God's sight. God has bigger foresight than you do. Or remember, God already promised the land. I don't care who's in the land. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what they're doing. It doesn't matter. When God's promised you something, you go take it. Why? Because you have the authority. Because you have the power. And first, you know, also, it was a good thing. They saw it was a land flowing with milk and with honey. All right, skipping on to Numbers 14. Numbers 14:8. It says this, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Zephunneh were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land, and if God delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey, only do not rebel against the Lord. Nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. What happened? The congregation said to them, stone them. And they said to stone them with stones. I mean, the congregation all got mad at them. Because what they were saying, you know what? God's given us this land. Let's go take our land. It's a good land. But the congregation didn't like it. So you know what happened? They had to wait, 40 more years? And only two of those spies got to go in that land. That was Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 people never walked into the land. You realize the giants didn't keep them from going in the land. Their own words did. Their words stopped them from doing what God had called them to do. Now, you know, we say that to them, well, I can't believe they're that stupid. But you know how many things God has promised us and we don't take a hold of it because of our words? He's promised us healing, promised us health, he's promised us prosperity. One of my favorite scriptures, we all know, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That means he has told us it's his will for us to have an abundant life. If you're not having an abundant life, watch what you're saying. Watch how you're speaking. Are you speaking every day about your abundant life and how awesome it is? And you know, we said, well, yeah, but have you seen my life? Isn't that awesome? I don't care what's going on now. I want to know what's going to be going on in the future. And your talk now determines your future. The way you speak, the way you talk, the way you act. And I'm just going to say that this country, I'm not saying everyone here, but this country, even the Christians of this country, have been talking fear, have been afraid. I mean, you know, some pastors are not planning to open their church up until next May 2021 because they're afraid. You know, one of my favorite nursery rhymes when I was a kid was the Three Little Pigs. Anyone remember the Three Little Pigs? You know, the Three Little Pigs. Now, see, some people get nursery rhymes and Bible stories mixed up. And that's a problem. All right, Bible stories really happen. Nursery rhymes are some story that somebody made up. The point was, the Three Little Pigs, they're behind the brick house and the, you know, remember the mean wolf? You know, every time else he'd be able to blow the house down, but then this time he huffed and he puffed and he said what he was going to try to do to them, and nothing happened because they were hiding behind the brick house, and they began to sing, "Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf?" And see, that's how I think about the devil. Who's afraid of the big bad devil? I mean, you know, he has no authority, he has no right, and he can huff and he can puff all he wants to because he huffs and puffs a lot. He huffs and puffs a lot. I'm going to tell you that, you know, the devil, the Bible says, is seeking who he may devour, who he may scare away, who he may, you know, give false news for. Because, you know, fear is false news because fear doesn't belong to the children of God. The Bible clearly tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's not godly. Fear is not godly. You know, I've never figured this out. I don't know how many people, I know a lot of Christians, you know, they have what they call the fear of heights. You know, and I've actually been in up in one of those observatories, you know, like a big tower or whatever, and people who are afraid of heights, and they're like, you know, and I found that they're not really afraid of heights. They're afraid to look down. Now, when they look down, what happens is they're really afraid to fall. What they're not afraid to get up there high, they're afraid to fall down. Okay, but whenever you're at one of these places and you got a rail in front of you, and you know now they got plexiglass in front of the rails and all these kind of things, you're not going to fall over. I mean, you would have to actually try to crawl over this, crawl over that to fall over. So why are you afraid of it? Well, it looks scary. Who cares what it looks like? It's not scary. Because we know when you're standing on the solid rock and the foundation of Jesus Christ, how can you be afraid? How can you be afraid? You know, I mean, the Bible has so many promises that belongs to us. I mean, it's so hard to be afraid. I mean, you know, the reason we're afraid, I'll tell you why, is because we're looking, once again, out of our own eyes. We're not looking at from Jesus' perspective. You know, because we've been given all authority, all power. You know, remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Remember the Bible says that, "For she said, if I might touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." You know what? She went and touched his clothes and she got healed. Why? Because she said it and she did it. And the deal is, we need to go say it and do it. And quit messing around. Well, you know, this might happen, that might happen. You know, people are afraid of what might happen. You know, yeah, things can happen. And, you know, sometimes that we get in a situation where the devil attacks us. But over in Isaiah 54, it talks about that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So when a weapon gets formed against us, what's going to happen? Well, if we keep believing God and trusting God and saying the right things, nothing is going to happen. It's not going to prosper. Yeah, but this was formed against me. Bible tells you things are going to be formed against you. Problems are going to come. Situations are going to come. You know, it's going to maybe look tough sometimes. But what do? We speak words. We speak positive words. We speak life-filled words. Because the power of life is in the words that we speak. And we can have what we say. Just that simple. Now, it doesn't just say that we can have what God says. You know, God wants us to have everything. But we have to take a hold of it, and we have to start speaking with our own mouth. It doesn't say you can have what the pastor says. It doesn't say you can have what your mom or your daddy says. It says you can have whatever you say. You say, I mean, I don't know how many times I've had people, say, well, Brother Craig, come in, you know, can you come pray for me? You know, because I guess they don't think that they have power in their own words, power in their own prayer. I don't mind praying for anybody, but I found out a lot of times that people, they're not in agreement with me. They're in fear and I'm in faith. You know, the Bible doesn't say that if we pray enough that we will be healed. The Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. We have been healed. Healing belongs to us. You know, and I don't know how many times I've asked people, well, you get your healing? Well, I sure hope so. Then they didn't get their healing. They're still hoping. They're not accepting. They're not speaking the right words. What do you want? Because whatever you want is what you should have. You know, and also this, and in a humanistic thing, I mean, you know, if I'm teaching you business school, I'm going to tell you to set your goals down and, you know, and speak what you want your business to do. Set goals in life. Decide that, you know, what you can do, because, you know, you're only limited about what you believe. Now, it is interesting. I want to go to a couple of things that my grandfather said here before we close tonight. He says this. He says, we are a product of words. We are a product of our words. He says, I never talk sickness. I don't believe in sickness. I talk health. I talk health. Now, you know, there are some times, and I talk about this a lot. I mean, sometimes sometimes you go to the doctor and you get diagnosed a bad thing. You know, sometimes I've heard people go to the doctor and they get diagnosed with cancer. Then, you know, the people with cancer, every person I know that they go around and tell everyone how I have cancer. Euros, I have cancer. I have cancer. I have cancer. No, I understand. It's okay to tell people what the doctor says. But if you don't want to have cancer, then get rid of it. How do you do that? Well, the doctor says I have cancer, but the Bible says, this is what the word says. Now, see, there's fact and there's faith. The fact is that according to all these tests, the cancer is trying to attack my body. But praise God that the name of Jesus is greater than cancer. Jesus is up here, cancer's down there. Higher, lower, higher, lower. So start speaking Jesus, more Jesus and less cancer. More faith and less fear. You cannot have faith and fear in your heart at the same time. If you have fear, you do not have faith. Well, yeah, but I'm believing. No, you're not believing, because if you're believing, then you would have faith and not fear. Faith is an unquestioning belief. Unquestioning. There's no doubt. When you have faith, it's yours. It belongs to you. He says, I talk health. I believe health. I never talk sickness. I never talk disease. I talk health. I talk healing. I never talk about what the devil has done. I'm not interested in his works. I talk about the works of God and what he is doing. Praise the Lord. I don't talk about the devil's power because he's not as powerful as God. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, I'm not talking about the bad things that happen. Then, you know, this is interesting. He said this. My grandfather says this. Says some people get delivered from smoking cigarettes. Some people get delivered from drinking whiskey. But I wish Christian people would get delivered from the biggest sin. You want to know what the biggest sin is? Anyone want to know what the biggest sin is? Some of you are guilty of having the biggest sin. And you're right here in this church, and you've come every Sunday. You come every Wednesday night. And my grandfather wants you to get rid of the biggest sin, and so do I. All right, he says this. A sin that's greater than smoking cigarettes or drinking whiskey. He said, this is the biggest sin, the sin of worry. The sin of worry. Ooh, that's not good, because some of you now you're saying, well, I guess I'm a big sinner. I thought I was healed. I thought I was set free. Thought I was delivered. And thought it all was, but Brother Hagin just called me a sinner. Brother Hagin in this book, and Brother Hagin right here. You're a sinner. You're full of worry. So a lot of people are so proud. They say, I don't smoke. God deliver me from that. Well, I wish they'd be delivered from that big sin they have in their life. The sin of worry is worse than smoking a cigarette. Worry will kill you. More than one doctor has said to me, and I've read it from other doctors on periodicals, there are more people in mental institutions and there are more people in the grave because of worry than any other thing. Worry. Worry. And we have scriptures for that. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. So what are you caring about? Why are you worried? See, the reason you're worried is because you don't really trust God like you should. And if you're worried, you speak bad things. You speak negative things. It says, what do people worry about? Circumstances. They worry about tomorrow. They're worried about the things that they face. Said, I've been tempted to worry about tomorrow and about things that I knew I faced. But then I remember what the Bible said. And it's inside of me. I didn't have to pray about it. I just looked at trouble and seeming impossibilities in the face. And I couldn't help from laughing, praise God. Because he started saying, the greater one is in me. The greater one is in me. Why am I worried? Because the greater one is in me. I mean, if the greater one is in me, if God be for me, who can be against me? And that's what we need to do. It's easy to speak faith whenever you're not worried. Said, what else is in the world? Sickness is in the world. It's not of God. It doesn't come from heaven. There is no sickness up there. He says, when there's sickness to you, he said, the greater one's in me. Start talking about the greater one and not about your sickness. He said, what else is in the world? Adverse circumstances are in the world. Seemingly impossibilities are in the world. But I'm not of the world. I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. My citizenship is in heaven, glory to God. And while I'm down here in the world, I have the greater one living in me. This is my confession, the words, that the kind words I've been speaking for 40-something years. Words. The greater one is in me. The greater one is in me. You know, so many people are so afraid of everything. I'll give you a great example. Most of you know that my son drives a race car. He likes driving a race car. That's one of his most proudest thing he does. I've never seen such a smile on his face. The other day, whenever he won a race, he had the biggest smile on his face. You know what? He wants to drive a race car. Driving a race car might be dangerous. You know that. We all know that. But I'm going to tell you what. We buy the best safety equipment we can buy. But the more importantly is we pray. We claim the 91st Psalm over him. I've told him, I said, you know what? I believe that if there's any danger that's going to come your way, the Lord will tell you that you should just get off the track. I said, I see you pull the infield, pull off the track. You know, and I said, well, what'd you do that for? Because I didn't feel like racing, because I felt something. See, you know, it's more important to be led by the Spirit of God. And you know, people say, aren't you afraid he's going to get hurt? No, I'm not afraid he's going to get hurt. He just crashed really bad the other day. Weren't you in fear? No, I filmed the whole thing. I watched another mom's Facebook Live. Her son crashed, and she threw the phone away. I couldn't even see the guy's crash. And so filmed the whole thing. Well, weren't you worried when he went there? I said, well, you know, I thought he might be shaken up a little bit, and he was. He didn't kind of know where he was for a minute. You know, but he's excited and ready to go the next time. Why? He's not in fear. We can have what we say we can have. If we say that we're going to crash and hurt and you know, I know two people this past week. I don't know them. I know of them. Facebook friends that died in a crash out in the streets. You're more likely to do that. You know, you're more likely to die in a crash driving from the airport than flying on the airplane. But people speak fear. But I speak faith. I believe in faith. I trust God. The Bible says to trust God with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And there's times, and you know, I'm like, I don't know how we're going to make it. My brain thinks. It's tough. But you know what? It's not about what my brain thinks. It's about what my God says. And the words that I speak are real important, because whatever I speak, I can have what I say. And if you don't have these two little books, I encourage you to go to the bookstore today or go to rhema.org and order them, or you can order them digitally from the Amazon store or the Apple store. And I encourage you to read these. Some of you might need to read these weekly. Weekly. In fact, what you need to do is if somehow, some way during this next week you say something's negative, I want you to read the book again, both these books again. Every time you say something negative, read these books. Eventually, you quit saying things that are negative, because the greater one is in you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And when you get a hold of that reality, the reality that the greater one's in you, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, you can do it. You can make it. You can get through it. All things are possible. And you know what? Doesn't matter what's going on in your world. Doesn't matter what's going on around about us. We need to start speaking life. Speaking health. I believe we live in a great country. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But each and every day I speak, every time I pray, if you heard me pray, I always pray for revival to this nation. I pray for revival to this generation, because this generation seems like they're the most godless generation that we've ever seen before. But things can only change when we pray. I thank God every day for signs and wonders and miracles and healing. I thank God for revival taking place. We speak those things in existence. So I want to challenge you, speak the right words, because you're going to have what you say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here and under the sound of my voice, watching us online. We thank you, Father, that the message that we spoke today, I'm sure most people, you know, already knew this message, but Father, help us to be a doer of your word. Help us each and every time that we start speaking negativity, that we change our tune. That we change our tune, that we speak positivity. We need to understand that we can have what we say, and the words that we say are powerful. And Father God, we speak to this nation right now. We speak to this COVID-19 virus. We command it to not exist anymore. We thank you, Father, that each and every day the numbers are getting better. People are getting healed. People are not going to the hospital. And we thank you, Father, that you're touching this nation. We come against the evil powers of the enemy that are trying to come against these churches during this time. We come against any plan the devil's trying to do. And we thank you, Father, for giving us freedom to worship the way we please, giving us freedom to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ the way we need to do that. Father God, we just pray for this nation. We pray for each and every person here in this nation. We come against any kind of racial division right now. Any kind of stress that way, Father. We thank you, Father, that we'll come together as children of God, no matter what color, no matter what nationality, no matter where we came from, and that we'll walk together. And Father God, we just thank you for revival. Revival. Revival to this nation. And Father, we just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. But we do thank you. If anyone here, the next few weeks, begins to speak negatively, we thank you, Father, that you'll touch their heart, you'll touch their mind, and they'll remember this message, and they'll get a hold of these books. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Well, let's all stand up. Don't forget, Sunday morning right here, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. Sunday night. We're always online for you guys that watch us online, Facebook Live, rhema.tv, the Rhema USA YouTube channel. And we do thank you, all you guys that are joining us, you know, online, not only during this pandemic, but all the time. And we're glad that you can join us online. You know, it's glad that we can minister to you wherever you might be. I know some of you are in countries around the world, and we just praise God for you guys. And thank you that you get a hold of the message that we preach today. But we'll see everybody right here, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Turn around. Give people air high fives, air hugs, air waves, and we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you.